Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
In Brazil, there's a young family that become missionaries, and they're actually reaching out to some of the darkest areas in Brazil. I mean, places where they could literally die. My understanding, it's drug-infested areas, poverty-stricken, dangerous gang members, and they're willing to go into the darkness. I mean, God has called us to shine light out of the darkness, but in order for light to shine out of the darkness, someone with light has to bring the light in the darkness. I want you to listen to this segment from CBN as they share about this couple from Georgia, and their family said, we're going to go into the darkness to share the light of Jesus Christ. You got to listen up because you're going to be so encouraged.
And welcome back to the show. Brazil has one of the fastest growing church populations in Latin America. But poverty is still a huge issue with more than 11 million people living in gang and drug-filled slums.
American missionary Eric Reese spends his days in the poverty and violence and brings light to one of the darkest areas of Rio de Janeiro. Stan Jeter reports.
What makes me love Rio is just seeing the hurting people in the communities like this, just trying to survive, just trying to pay the bills, just trying to put food on the table. I see that every person here is a creation of God, and that when Christ went to the cross, he went to the cross for these people too.
This is where Eric Reese works. He thinks often of the danger, knowing he might go out one day and not come back.
And I wrote a letter to my wife. If I don't return, you be strong. Let my girls know that it's going to miss them.
Ministry in the favelas is hard, even for the Brazilians.
It's hard because the Christian people here in Brazil, I think in other countries, don't want to do this kind of job. Don't want to go to the streets at night to speak the word of God, to preach the word of God. They don't want. They want to stay in their big church, just watch a good sermon.
Yet the American couple continues reaching out to drug dealers, gang members, and prostitutes. Ramona Reese believes their own background helps them relate.
From the beginning, the way in which we grew up, to bring us to do what we're doing. It's not so hard for us to understand the people that we're ministering to. And so it's just trying to be minister to somebody who needs Jesus, who just so happens to be a drug trafficker or, you know, a militia or whatever.
Reese and his family came to Brazil 13 years ago as Southern Baptist missionaries from Albany, Georgia. His greatest challenge? Gaining the confidence of a top favela gang leader, the Godfather. One night, the man agreed to an interview in a secret location. The Godfather, who originally wanted to kill Reese, now spoke well of the missionary.
He was a person who came to the community and helped the community, which has many needs, financial needs. He didn't come to help with the financial needs, but to bring the peace that many need.
Shortly after the interview, a rival gang assassinated the Godfather, but not before he put his faith in Jesus Christ.
I will not hold back into a comfort zone from my comfort level. Shorten the hand of Christ, shorten the hand of God. When people are dying, going to hell, needing to know there's a way their life can be changed and changed radically, I will not do it.
Reese now finds help from a Brazilian pastor with a favela background.
I tried to steal a car. When I looked behind, there was a police car. They started shooting at us, and one of these shots caught me here. My mother had always told me that even if it were the last minute of my life, if I repented, God would forgive me of my sins. And that time had come. I started a new life with Jesus.
The grace of God
has brought that guy not from near deaths, shootings, to now a beautiful family, a lovely wife, awesome kids. Only the grace of God could do that.
Ramona Reese supports her husband in ministry. She befriends other women, including Vivian, a single mother and former prostitute.
When that relationship has been established and the Holy Spirit does his work and that person receives Christ, and I can actually see them being baptized and seeing them joining a church, that's the greatest. That's the biggest reward.
And as the Reeses deal with the daily challenges of work in the favelas, people like Vivian remind them why they came in the first place. Stan Jeter, CBN News.
What an amazing encounter. I mean, think about that. I get so encouraged when I hear what's happening and how people are willing to leave their place of comfort. You listen to Eric and you're like, man.
Wow.
You're like, man, I'm proud of you, man.
He's got it.
I mean, he's got it. He says, listen, it's not about me and it's not about my comfort.
All right.
And you look, it's like, where are the people today? Where are the believers today that are saying, listen, it's not about my comfort. It's not about my 401k. It's not about my white picket fence and my house and my vacations and all my... Where are those people that say, listen, I have this one life to live. I am eternally grateful to Jesus. Now think about the woman who was weeping at Jesus' feet and she's wiping his feet with her hair and he says, listen, those who've been forgiven much, they love much. I mean, I know you don't understand this. I know you can't get a grid for this, Pharisee.
Right.
I know you don't understand this, but let me tell you what's going on. Those that have been forgiven much, this is their response. They just love much. And she's pouring her tears all over his feet. She's drying his feet with her hair. And then she brings the most probably expensive thing maybe that she had, this perfume, this alabaster, this jar of expensive perfume. Who knows where she got it or who gave it to her.
Yeah.
And she takes that which is precious to her and pours it out on the Lord. And we're still talking about her today. And the thing about it is when we have a revelation how much God has done for us, it's like, Lord, help us, wake us up, shake us up out of this complacency, this deep sleep that the church is in.
Mm-hmm.
And help us to recognize that life is short. And that there are people that are dying every single day. There is 11 million people in Brazil that live in poverty that we haven't even begun to even dream about.
Right.
Think about, you know, imagine in our mind that could actually exist in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that someone would leave their comfort of America, anywhere in America, and to take their family in a place to say, listen, I'm willing to lay my life down so that others can know Christ. When you just want to tip their head off, you want to say, listen, we need more people like that. That shouldn't be something that is a rarity. That's not something that we should say, oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
But Lord willing, we're saying soon, look at this family that left and look at this family is going. What would happen if we start beginning to have a conversation and dream a little bit and start... Can you imagine reporting this family's leaving next month, this family's leaving in 3 months, this person's going here, and there's a world being reached because people are leaving. And that's why I think that if anything that America has kept, you know, has been kept safe as long as it has, it's because the amount of missionaries over the years that have left this country to go to other countries. When you think of the John G. Lakes and the Hudson Taylors and those that have went and labored in far distant lands in China and Africa. I mean, I think it was David Livingston that I believe it was in India that he made such an impact there that when he died, they cut out his heart and buried it in India. I mean, they loved him.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they loved this man and they were grateful for what he did. I mean, this is a person who laid their life down. And I believe that's what it's going to take again. It's going to take believers to realize that, hey, listen, we're not living for this life. And you have to kind of shake yourself up because everything right now, we're talking about earlier about the schemes and the strategies. And the Bible says that we shouldn't be ignorant of the devil's schemes. And that word really is strategies. It's a systematic plan to take you out and to separate you from God. And it comes in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the ways it comes is in entertainment. And if you slow that word down, you come up with the word, you know, entertain the men. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
To tame the men.
Oh, wow.
You know, you can, it's a taming thing that happens over people where they just become so tamed, they become docile, they lose what they, the spiritual fervor that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And you get numbed away by viewing this box, and you become programmed. I mean, it's a television program, and you become programmed with ideas and concepts, a lot of which, not all, but a lot of which, are totally anti-God, anti-Christ, non-biblical,
mm-hmm.
glorifying sin, hell,
yeah.
and the enemy. And you totally become closed off to what stuff that really matters. And at the end of your life, and at the end of the day, it is not going to matter how many things that you've accumulated, the trips that you've been on, the things that you've bought. I mean, every latest technology, if you realize it after you get it, after a week or two, it's old.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, how many more things? And people live in a perpetual state of trying to get that high again. And I just get more stuff and more stuff and... You know, the new smell of the new shoes is gone. The new smell of the car is gone. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The new house is no longer new anymore. The new whatever is not new.
Mm-hmm.
And they constantly are looking for that new feeling again, that fresh feeling again. When it's like, listen, you just need to live for God. You need to live a life that's not based on reality TV, watching other people make pretend that they're doing reality, but living a life that truly is real and something for God. And, you know, one thing that struck me was then when he started talking about, when they started talking about his interview where he went to see this gang leader.
Yeah.
And his gang leader's like, wait, well, they said he wanted to kill the guy first, the missionary.
Right.
They wanted to kill him. But then he says, the gang leader says, he didn't come here with money. He came here with peace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does that just not fly in the face of everything that you've been... ever shared or talked about, oh, it takes money to go here, and it just takes all this right. money to preach the gospel, and it takes all this money to go and win converts. Does it?
Right.
I mean, does it? You look at a man like Paul who walked into a city and literally tore it up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, outside of Jesus, when I read the Bible and I look at Paul's life, you just say, my goodness, Paul, my goodness. He was, I mean, just he just ran with it. And one man goes into a city, turns it upside down. I believe it was Ephesus. And they're saying, we got to do something about this guy. He is horrible for business.
Yeah.
They're making shrines. They're making these idols. You know what I'm saying? He's killing the, we got to do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
One man, one torch, totally lit on fire for God, who actually worked the job as well,
yeah.
made tents for a living.
Yeah.
And preach the gospel. Totally, quote unquote, tore it up for Jesus. Everywhere he went. And people wanted to arrest him. They flogged him. They imprisoned him. He suffered so much for the cause of Christ. He suffered so much. But we're still talking about Paul today. I mean, he wrote most of the New Testament Bible we read today.
That's right.
Talk about a life that was totally sowed, given to God. Talk about a person that was willing to leave everything behind and dump everything he knew. A Pharisee, born of the tribe of Benjamin, of the Pharisee. He was the man
mm-hmm.
and laid all of that aside to, at one point, say, I resolve to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I mean, what a journey from going from a Pharisee mindset of where everything was all intellectual, memorization by strict code, if you will, law,
mm-hmm.
to come into a place and saying, I resolve to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let me tell you, it's time for the church to know nothing more than Jesus Christ and him crucified. We need to have, the mission statement is very simple. Heaven full, hell empty. I mean, this is it.
Mm.
And it doesn't need to be about all these other things that had just blurred and have compromised the message. The message is not about how we can have a better life here on earth. It's about how many people can have a better life in the life to come. It's not about self-preservation. It's not a self-help message. It's not a motivational message. It's a message that radically transforms us from the inside out and causes us to say that, my goodness, the life that I have left, I'm going to wring it out like a sponge for this amazing man, fully man, fully God, Jesus. And whatever I have, whatever talents, whatever gifts, whatever anything that I can do in this body of mine, what as limited and frail that it is, I'm going to give it to you because you gave it all to me. I want to encourage you. We want to encourage you. Listen, don't sit back and be entertained. I think about what the young man said who was interviewed, and he said, listen, he believes that many Christians today, many people today, they don't want to do this kind of a job. They don't want to go into the streets and preach, but they want to sit in big churches and listen to great sermons. Is that not an indictment? Into the streets are those things that those evangelists do. We don't do that. We have a group that does that. They go on certain nights or whatever it's like. Really? Really? The question is, I wonder, where would Jesus, if he would come back today, where would he walk in your town? Would he run to a local gathering? Would he be out there in the streets and reaching people? I mean, just things that make you say,
Yeah.
But what have we created where people are more at home and being cozied up and contained rather than loosed? Loosed on their city, loosed in their community, totally engaged, and totally talking about the love of Christ, how God loves you, God has a plan for your life, and going to the places where people are normally afraid to go. Listen, light belongs in darkness. Light belongs where there is no hope. And how could light shine out of the darkness if those who have the light don't run into the darkness? We talk about those in 9/11 who were, they're so brave because they were running in when others were running out. Well, my goodness, we need Christians that are brave. They're willing to go run into these places that people are terrified to go into. We need Christians in government. We need Christians in education. We need Christians in quote-unquote impoverished and drug-infested areas. We need Christians in every segment of society to say that they love Jesus more than they love their own life, their own comfort. And like Eric Reese says, listen, he wrote a letter to his wife, if I don't come back, tell everybody I'll miss them. Yeah. I loved them.
Yeah.
But this is what I'm going to be doing. This is what I'm going to do with the life that I have left. And everyone is accountable for their own life. You're going to stand alone before Jesus Christ. You're not going to stand with your wife. You're not going to stand with your husband. Children are not going to stand with their parents. You're not going to stand with your pastor. You're going to stand alone, you and Jesus. And you're going to be held accountable for what you did and what you did not do with the greatest gift that you can ever be given. And that is your life. Let me tell you something. We want to challenge you today. Every moment that you have left, give it all to Jesus. And be the light of the world, the salt of the earth.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.